The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. And once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. As you know by now, when we come to the end of the year here in the church, all the readings begin to speak of the last things: death and judgment and heaven and hell. We get a little bit of that in our first reading here from the Book of Wisdom. We've been hearing from Wisdom all week long. It's traditionally called the Wisdom of Solomon, but Wisdom is... it wasn't written by Solomon. It was written centuries and centuries after Solomon. But today, a little word of warning of the judgment that's impending on the kings and the rulers of the earth. These people who have exercised God's own authority on this earth, our first reading tells us, will face a judgment that is swift and terrible and certain. Because the priorities of this world are certain to be inverted. The last will be first, the first will be last, the mighty will be cast down from their thrones, and the lowly will be raised. And so, you know, the first reading says, "Terribly and swiftly shall the judgment come against you," because judgment is stern for the exalted, but for the lowly, they will be pardoned out of mercy. Now, if you're a king or a ruler of the earth, if you're a senator or a president, the message to you is very clear: get thee to a confessional and that right soon. Okay? But for the rest of us who are eking our way out in this dysfunctional world, who are looking all around us waiting for it all to fall apart, some of us hoping it'll fall apart real soon because, you know, it'll be a vast improvement over the current state of things, what do we do? What do we do to get ready? And you can keep this in mind as you hear all the readings about all the judgments. Just a couple of thoughts for you today, okay? A couple of thoughts to help you prepare for the inevitable last judgment. First comes from St. Catherine of Siena. St. Catherine of Siena once said, "Pray as though everything depends on God, and act as though everything depends on you." It's a great statement. But only if you're a canonized saint do you got that statement covered on both sides of the net, right? For the rest of us, we tend to favor one side over the other. We either are inclined to prayer or we're inclined to action. A little tiny word, you know, just as a general spiritual practice to be ready for the last judgment: be inclined to the side of that statement in which you know you are weaker. Some of us, for example, we're naturally inclined to prayer, we're naturally inclined to contemplative things, and that's good, don't get me wrong. It's just that by and large, human nature being what it is, and original sin doing what it does to our human nature, people who are inclined to prayer tend to be disinclined to act. You know, it's as if we think that God's going to straighten everything out on his own, and all we have to do is just sit back and watch him do it. And that's a heresy. It's the heresy that's known as quietism. You know, God once said to the Israelites, "I'm going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey." But, you know, they still had to milk the cows. They still had to tend the bees. God's not going to do it for you, and we have to be inclined to act. Now, there's others. They're so inclined to act, which is a good thing, right? Which is a very good thing, don't get me wrong. We need these people in the world. But such people are often disinclined to pray. They tend to think of prayer as, you know, a refuge of weak souls, rather those who don't get out and do things for themselves. And they fail to recognize that God does everything. And all we ever do is cooperate. Honestly, you can think of it as being like a river with a canoe. And as much as the canoe paddler does his thing, he can't change the course of the river. And what inevitably happens to people who are inclined to action as opposed to prayer is, give them enough time, they always lose heart. They always burn out because they realize how futile and how weak a thing is human effort. So be inclined to the side of that equation that you're less inclined to, and you'll be ready. It'll help get you ready. Here's another one. Give thanks to God in all things. Give thanks to God, especially when things go wrong. Don't be shocked by what I like to call the scandal of the specific. I might have said this before, but what do I mean by the scandal of the specific? Well, it's the idea that people really like God and his will so long as he's nice and vague and abstract and distant. But if that same God gets very close and gets very specific, people get very upset. This is the scandal of the specific. It's as though we don't so much want God the Father as we want God the Grandfather, nice and smiling and benevolent and comfortably distant from our day-to-day decisions. So, for example, things go wrong in the world. You want to express your faith? Give thanks for those things. Give thanks in all circumstances. Maybe there's traffic on the road and you're in a big hurry. Maybe you're trying to get from point A to point B and your flight is canceled or terribly delayed. Or maybe you order a package in the mail and it gets lost. Or maybe you have to deal with something more serious like illness or loss of a job or even death. These things might make you sad. These things might even make you angry. Then along comes somebody that even suggests that God might have something to do with it, and people get even angrier. That's the scandal of the specific. Or maybe, just hypothetically speaking, of course, just maybe you're living in a time in which you're living in a very dysfunctional government, right? Bumbling and confused. And just maybe you're living in a time in which the church is so dysfunctional it could give the government lessons in how to be dysfunctional, just hypothetically speaking, right? And people get upset, they get angry. And you suggest to these people that maybe God has a hand in this and is directing all things, and they get even angrier. That's the scandal of the specific. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart when God is very specific. And the way in which we do that is we give thanks to God in all things. St. Jose Maria Escriva, he once said, praise God for the things that go wrong. It's really good advice, right? Because we all say we want to carry the cross, correct? Everybody says, oh yeah, carry the cross, that's me, I'm God's real disciple. But we want a cross of our own choosing. There was a character on EWTN, Father Benedict Groeschel, he used to say, you know, we all want a cross made out of styrofoam with a little shoulder pad and a little wheel at the back so it doesn't drag too much along the ground. That's the scandal of the specific. It's very, very humbling to believe in God and that he's active in all things in a world that seems so very, very disordered. But if you can learn to give thanks to God day by day, minute by minute, to recognize his providence and his goodness, even in things that don't make any sense to you, let me tell you, when the judgment comes, you'll be ready. Just a couple of thoughts to get us ready. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us as well. St. Albert the Great, pray for us.